Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Good morning and welcome, my friends. Time to pump it up. It is a Trash Talking Tuesday brought to you by Florence Recycling. Yes, indeed. So much to talk about. Your time check at 6:08 is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Trump's first 100 days accomplishments, questions, and yes, Trump derangement syndrome, as strong and powerful as ever.
Oh, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it is.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Speaking of first 100 days, make sure you listen up for the Trump Town Hall show. That will be tomorrow night. And that is going on from 8 to 10. Tomorrow night, 8 to 10 p.m., Trump's first 100 days. And Bill O'Reilly co-hosting that. I think it should be good.
I think so.
It should be good.
Yeah. Which, I mean, he knows he hasn't gotten everything done he's wanted. But to get everything you want to get done, it takes cooperation from other people. You can't just make it happen on your own.
But Congress, Congress, and the Senate, I mean, really, you say, okay, well, if the midterms, if we could gain a few seats, like,
yeah,
you've got the majority. I know it's close, but you can't get anything done. You need to solidify some of the stuff that, you know, Trump has, you know, put in through executive orders. You got to codify it. You got to make it law so it extends. Otherwise, if we get another a lefty Democrat in the White House, they're just going to reopen the borders, and we're going to have this mess all over again. I hope people know. Do people know that? Do they realize that? That's exactly what will happen.
I don't know.
If Congress doesn't address it. And they don't have to do all this, you know, forgiveness, amnesty, all that. All you've got to do is work on a plan to secure the border and punish people who hire people who are here illegally. Okay? It's not that hard. You have to do it. But we'll see. You know,
it's not brain surgery.
But yet I'm not very hopeful. I
get it.
You wonder.
I get it.
You know, the people that there's some good people that are serving, but there's a lot of people that, you know, their agenda comes first. And you know, I get that if you're a Democrat, but if you're a Republican playing that game, you've got such great opportunities right now to actually do real and good things for our nation. But
we've been here before, though. House, Senate, White House, and they did crap. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
No, there's just no excuse.
Yeah, if they don't take advantage of this opportunity they have now, and historically, midterms after this kind of an election, usually the Republicans would lose some seats. That may or may not be the case. It depends. He's got to get people feeling more comfortable with the market, and it's rebounding, little bits and pieces, stalls and starts, but it's coming back. He's got to get that back up. We've got to see a few real concrete things going on as far as the tariffs go, so that people can understand the benefits. Promises from countries and companies, that's a good thing, but I think people are going to want to see, you know, brick and mortar.
Yes.
If that's possible, in a short period of time, and it's difficult. Then you've got the Canadians to our north. Here's one where, honestly, you know, I'm a Trump supporter. I'm a Trump humper, okay? Leave Canada alone. Quit poking that bear. I don't see any reason to do that. I don't see any benefit to it. In fact, might have even you get them to vote even more liberal, I think, than maybe they would. Yeah. I would just, they're our friends. They're our neighbors to the north. They are good trading partners. You know, let's work things out, whatever the case may be. There's no reason to ruffle those feathers. It serves, as far as I can see, it doesn't serve any purpose. If there's some grand plan that I'm not aware of that involves irritating the hell out of Canada, then, yeah, by all means, keep doing it. But I don't see it. North Korea confirms troops involved on the side of Russia, of course, in the Ukraine war. And we thought that was the case a while ago, but I guess they've solidified that a little bit more. And then on, I guess it would be a lighter note, changing marriage. Look, half of all male marriages end in divorce, end in failure. What can you do differently? Well, of course, we know there's a lot of things that you could do better and differently, but somebody brought up on a podcast a contractual agreement, and they call it the NBA contract idea because I guess it's pretty standard 4 years, maybe. Okay. That's where they get it from.
All right.
But basically, you sign a four-year contract. That is your marriage. Mm-hmm. And then just like anything else, you want to be a free agent? Okay, I'm opting out of extending this deal.
Wow.
If you want to renew, then, you know, you
renegotiate?
You do another 4 years. Negotiation could be a part of it. Hey, I'm only going to, do the additional 4 years if you promise, you're going to help around the house, you're going to cook dinner. And then you could say, well, that's fine. I want certain demands maybe of you.
Wow. Here's a thought as a contrast to that. Prepare for a marriage, not a wedding. And do the work that it takes to prepare for a marriage, not a wedding.
Well, and I think some do and some don't, but I think you can prepare, but then you got to live it. And you got to work it.
Exactly. That's the
problem.
You got
to work it and work it.
That's kind of my point. They all look for this happy day dream. Oh, we're going to get married. Blah, 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 blah. And they think it's living happily ever after. Well, no, that's when the work begins.
Now you tell me.
I know.
It's just, it is an interesting look at it. I know. You want it to be a forever thing for a lot of reasons.
Sure.
But you have to be realistic. You know, that you may not be a good match.
Yeah.
And
people do change, which again is why communication ongoing and working ongoing is necessary.
For real?
Yeah, it's not a new concept. Mm. It's been around a while. Mm. I'd say it always got it right. My wife taught me this. She told me to say that.
So. Yeah. Well, when nobody else is home, I tell you this right now.
Yeah.
I'm in charge. Yep.
You think so?
When nobody else is home.
That list on the refrigerator?
Yes. I'm in charge of that. How'd you know? How'd you know about that list?
I know how they work.
Good morning and welcome. Come on, we're going to make it great, even if it is a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. It is 6:15. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. The Bob Rose Show, available on podcasts, wherever you normally download them. Click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of this here shoe.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good morning and welcome. Let's make today awesome, huh? What do you say? It's a Trash Talking Tuesday, brought to you by Florence Recycling. 620, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Tomorrow night, 8 to 10 p.m., Trump Town Hall. And that'll be co-hosted by Bill O'Reilly. The first 100 days of Trump. Kind of a random thing. Why 100 days? Why that would be chosen? How much can you get done in the modern era in government in 100 days? Well, I'll tell you, if they do this and cover it properly, a lot more has gotten done under this president than many, many of his predecessors.
That's true.
Yeah. So you've got that going on. And then this president also had an attempt on his life. And, you know, not to play rehash, this is just more of a reminder. Do we know, have we heard more about, you know, the guy from Butler, Pennsylvania? I mean, I can tell you this. He's not only dead, he's been cremated. He's long gone. His body will provide zero evidence.
Right.
So that's just one of the things that came up, I guess, when I believe it was Joe Rogan was talking to Elon Musk. And, you know, they said, thanks to people like Joe Rogan and Elon Musk, the curtain's still being pulled back on this whole thing. What's behind it should send chills down every American spine. From a house scrubbed cleaner than Hillary Clinton's email server to a shooter with no internet footprint to a random live CNN feed of a rally in the middle of nowhere, the details surrounding the Butler assassination attempt are filled with questions. And at this point, it's starting to feel like a scandal. Most people don't believe the lone wolf story that the media tried to sell us. Many conclude that this was something much darker. And in a powerful chat, Joe and Elon break down just how bizarre it is. And just let me run through them quickly. The assassin's house was professionally scrubbed. The home was scrubbed so well, there wasn't even silverware left in the home. Yes.
Okay.
No footprint on the internet. To be of that person's age and have zero footprint, and you know...
That's odd.
Yeah, because you can delete all kinds of stuff. You know, yeah, it still will have a footprint somewhere, and certainly the FBI has the ability to find that.
Sure.
No social media footprint, completely wiped. Hmm. He was, according to them, in a BlackRock commercial.
We've seen that.
And that is like... Wow. That's just a bizarre, that's one of those bizarre things.
So there's potential contact.
Joe Rogan says some individuals inside BlackRock may have recognized that it's beneficial to get them if he gets assassinated. May have recognized that it's beneficial to them. There was never a formal report. What? There was never a press conference where they detailed all the information they know currently and when the investigation, where it stands at this moment. He was a very young kid there with a rangefinder used to measure distances, which is suspicious, and nobody noticed it. CNN streamed it live. That's odd because I'm not sure that they carried any Trump rally live on CNN. Maybe for a moment.
But that one?
Yeah. What an odd one for them to pick. And, yeah, especially if it's, you know, in the middle of nowhere, which basically is, especially for CNN, that's definitely flyover country, right?
Yeah.
And then they wouldn't let people on the roof because a Secret Service lady said it was sloped and dangerous.
But it was flatter than the ones that the sharpshooters were on.
That's the next point.
Oh.
Random people saw him and pointed him out on the roof with a gun for a long time before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
The kid had five phones. Remember, is it no social media, no presence on the internet, but he has five phones.
Who has five phones? Seriously.
Somebody with four girlfriends.
And... never mind.
Or four lieutenants under them selling drugs. Other than that,
that's
the only thing I can think of.
So you wonder who were these phones provided by, or what were they for him to talk to on the other end?
Right.
Remember, they did the whole tracking thing of that one.
And it was encryption, and somebody went out of their way. For a guy who doesn't seem to be anywhere on the internet, he certainly knows a lot about technology, like encryption.
Or somebody does.
And then, not too long after the attempted assassination, his body was immediately cremated. Huh. There was some indications that there was a phone that had been traveling from outside the FBI offices to D.C., where this kid lived multiple times.
Right. That's what I was thinking about, because they did the whole mapping where it weaved around and how it was in D.C. and what building it was in or near and that sort of thing.
Now, under the previous administration, I wouldn't expect them to do any real digging. I mean, remember they found cocaine in the White House?
Yeah.
Never got to the root of that.
Yeah.
You had that awful shooting in Las Vegas. Did we ever really get the real story on that?
No.
I mean, that was massive.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was a terrorist attack.
It just made for a nice fodder to try to get rid of bump stocks.
Yeah.
That's about all that accomplished.
So, there's a lot of questions. Now, under this administration, one that I believe when they say they're going to be transparent, I believe it up to a point, of course.
Sure.
But I believe it. Why haven't we heard kind of a follow-up report?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some new people have been on board now for, about 3 months. I know maybe it takes time to weed, some of the good guys out of the people you can trust. I get that. But still, there's a lot of unanswered questions. A lot.
Yep.
And we've got a lot more to talk about. Coming up on the Bob Rose Show, it is 6:28, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Well, here we are. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. Thank you for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Trump's 100 days, first 100 days, actually a second. He had another term a few years back. But anyway, first 100 days of this term. And we've got a little special for you lined up. Tomorrow night, 8 to 10 p.m., co-hosted by Bill O'Reilly. Should be interesting. I don't know what to expect, frankly. But I think it'll be interesting.
I would think so. It's Trump.
On this day, April 29th, 1968. Oh, the era of the muscle car. Also, the era of smoking weed, dude. And yeah, what do you mean? Why you look at me like that?
Well, not everybody was smoking weed, Bob.
Well, no, I was 6 years old, so no, not everybody was.
Yes, yeah.
not everybody was, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I used to hide that weed right down there in my diapers, man. They never suspected anything.
No.
The musical Hair premiered on Broadway.
Now, they were all smoking pot.
Yeah.
Among other things of who knows what they were doing.
And nobody ever got a haircut pretty much after that.
Yeah,
Remember my next-door neighbor, Terry Stein? He had a big barbershop in Detroit. Yeah. He used to cut a lot of the Detroit Tigers, their hair and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they won the World Series in 68. He was able to bring his sons to a couple of games.
Nice.
So they'll never forget that, for sure.
Cool.
But then I remember he was taking classes. This is a barber who has been doing it for a long time and very good at what he does. Taking classes to learn styling.
I remember that transition of haircuts to styling. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, man, you got to roll with the times, and somebody moves your cheese, you got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, the now famous Tribal Love rock musical gave New York theater goers a full frontal glimpse of the burgeoning 60s counterculture by spotlighting how youth were struggling with the generation gap, the Vietnam War, and navigating both the burgeoning drug culture and sexual revolution. It quickly became not just a smash hit show, but a genuine cultural phenomenon, spawning a million-selling original cast recording and a number one era-defining song. Do you remember the song? Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In. The Fifth Dimension.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were great.
I was in a third dimension once, but I never made it.
That's a total different thing, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, I was in a video.
I'm not even sure how you
I was
got
on
there.
A video game.
Were you?
Yeah, I made it to the third dimension.
Okay, well, good for you.
Captain Kirk was there.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
We've got to make it to the fourth dimension. I'm not feeling great, so I just want to have fun.
I can tell.
Yeah, I've got this creeping crud stuffiness.
You've been fighting this for days.
Yeah, Betsy yeah. to put her on prednisone and
y'all just need to keep it at home. Don't bring it to work.
Well, no, it's her cousin's fault. He's the one who brought it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, across the border?
From Southwest Florida.
See?
Yeah, I don't know what those people are up to.
No,
but, it's, I'll get through it. I just want to make sure it doesn't negatively impact my vocal cords. That would not be good.
That'd not be good.
Because I can't do Greg's job. I can't. Mm-mm. Run the show. All I can do is run my yapper, and if the yapper is sick, we're in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, we are.
Hair. I'll be honest. I don't think I've ever seen it. Did they do it? They did it in a movie, right?
Oh yeah,
they put it in a movie.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, neither.
I'm sure they did.
But I remember. Was the song also the song Hair? Wasn't that part of it? By the Cowsills?
That's what I would have thought.
Okay, and that was kind of the real-life Partridge Family.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
But that's the way back. That's the way back machine.
Big time.
But it's okay. It's okay to reminisce, and for younger people who listen, like, yeah, that's some cool stuff going on, man.
We kind of forget, because we, of the age that we are, we were young in the 60s. And for
very,
all of that,
I was very young, but go ahead.
Yeah, by about 8 or 10 months younger than me. But it was, you kind of forget what life was like culturally until you look back and you watch some Today in History kind of thing and the Vietnam War and all the things that were going on at the time. And it was a whole kind of a wild time of, I don't know. Just breaking down boundaries, I guess, in a lot of ways by that generation that were just a few years older than us.
And you had a draft. So you had young American males going off to war.
Or Canada.
But yeah.
There's that.
There's that.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, people at home, I guess they had this kind of debate of, well, wait a second, we must be there for a reason, you know. Mm-hmm. We've got to be patriotic, but whether politically you agreed with the war or not, I knew, even at a young age, that you supported the people that were going to fight. You might not like it or maybe didn't fully understand what was at stake, but we knew that the troops themselves, it wasn't their fault.
Which is really what sucked about the, you know, our military coming back during and after that and how they were treated, spit upon, all that. It's like they didn't cause the war. They didn't start the war. They got sent over there to do a job. And yet, for whatever reason, some Americans decided to treat them really badly. And I never understood that.
No. Same here. I try to thank veterans when I meet them. I met one at the World Equestrian Center, part of the Soldiers Freedom Outdoors event. And I said, thank you for your service. He says, no need to thank me, although I appreciate the thought.
Yeah.
But no, I'm happy to do what I was able to do for my country.
Nice.
And yeah. And but you can tell it still felt, you know, he felt something there that he was appreciated. That's all we want, right? We want a little love. We want a little appreciation. We want to know that we are needed.
Mm-hmm.
It's called love. 6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. James Clyburn.
Oh, my.
Oh, he's funny. I've got a little statement from him we'll get a chuckle out of.
Uh-oh.
That's coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. Happy Trash Talking Tuesday from Florence Recycling. It is 6:49. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Some of your top stories as Trump approaches 100 days in office, the first 100 days of his second term. Accomplishments, questions, and Trump derangement syndrome seems to be at a, well, at a fever pitch. Yep. Coming up tomorrow night, Trump Town Hall, 8 to 10 p.m. 8 to 10 p.m. here on the Sky. I want to check it out. Co-hosted by Bill O'Reilly. James Clyburn. You remember him, right? Congressman, Democrat out of South Carolina. Yeah, he liked him some Joe Biden, right?
Oh, he was the head cheerleader for Joe Biden.
He was. So he was, as part of the broadcast, questioned about Joe Biden. He said, look, Biden, from a substance perspective, a great president. And no Democrat has had a record as good as Biden's since Lyndon Johnson's presidency.
Record for what?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, for record for what? I mean,
he got his new Green Deal shoved through.
Somebody who, did well economically. I mean, I know the word Bill Clinton makes some people go, oh, but
it was not a bad economy.
Right. Honestly, compared to Biden, if push came to shove, is there any question of who you would rather have in charge?
And even though we thought, and they kind of presented Biden as being kind of the middle-of-the-road moderate guy, actually it's Bill Clinton who is a lot more moderate in that sense and kind of came around when he realized things weren't going his way with Congress. And
if he wanted to get things done, he would learn to work with him, and he did.
Exactly.
So I don't know where, again, this is Clyburn. He says, and then he added, now, the fact of the matter is, whatever may or may not have been the decline, I've never worked in the White House. So I was not around Joe Biden enough to tell you anything about his decline.
You were his main spokesperson short of his cabinet. You were the one on all the TV shows touting how great he was, why he needed to be reelected. I mean, he was the head cheerleader for Joe Biden.
Well, all that James Clyburn had to do was turn on a TV the rest of America, because we didn't have to be around him or work with him to know what kind of state of decline he was clearly in.
You didn't need a job at the White House to figure that out.
He said, I talked to him on the phone a lot. I saw him at events a lot. I saw no more in his declination than I've seen in anybody else's. I'm 2 years older than Joe Biden. I just have a different style than he had. Oh, a different style. Now it's a style thing.
So it was just flair that he's got and Joe didn't have any.
It's right. It's not the lack of mental acuity. It's just a style. So Joe, he just put on, a new sport coat, get himself a different look. And when his styling and profiling, all of a sudden his mental acuity will also get sharper. Mm. Yeah, you got to have some pop to you.
Well,
come on, man.
It didn't work.
No. And so he says, people all age differently. Oh, wow. That was a revelation.
We know that. Thank you very much. We're talking about Joe here.
I think he must head up the Department of the Obvious.
Yeah.
You saw the subcommittee.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so for us to sit here and talk about Joe Biden as if we are physicians.
Oh, my goodness.
And can make these kinds of evaluations. A lot of us are interacting with him. And we could not make an evaluation like that, and I still can't, he says. Gosh.
Wow.
I wish I had the time to go and list some of the things that Clyburn has said about Trump. And I guarantee you, some of the things that he has said, you would think Clyburn was, well, at the very least, a psychiatrist or a psychologist.
And the genius.
Yeah.
In his own
and an expert in the economy, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, he is none of those things.
Wow.
But yeah, he can't even really
acknowledge it.
He can't even.
I'm not a doctor.
And everybody else, hasn't everybody else pretty much acknowledged it one way or another?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But I'm not a doctor. And I didn't say it at Holiday Inn Express last night.
So you got Trump in there as president. Does that mean Michelle Obama is not proud of her country anymore? Remember the first time she was ever proud of it was when her husband got elected.
She just needs to go away.
Yeah.
We don't care what she thinks.
She's frightened by the deportation policy.
Okay.
You think he's really going to send Barack back to Kenya?
If only.
Woo!
Well, you know, we're not sure where he was born. Is that...
Fresh dog on the menu.
Yum.
True story. Yeah. It's in his own book.
It's true. It's in there.
Former First Lady Michelle Obama is frightened by President Donald Trump's deportation policy. She was on an episode of On Purpose with Jay Shetty podcast. Obama and her brother, Craig Robinson, discussed fears they had growing up dealing with race issues when she was asked to identify the hardest recent test of that fear.
Oh, no.
In this current climate, for me, it's, you know, what's happening to immigrants. She's no longer fearful for herself due to her celebrity status, but is instead fearful for illegal immigrants.
Well, for the longest time, she was so scared that because of Trump that her daughters had to live in fear, you know, driving black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I drive around in a four-car motorcade with police escort. I'm Michelle Obama. But I do still worry about my daughters in the world, even though they are somewhat recognizable. So my fears are what I know is happening out there in streets all over the city. So what is she trying to weave together? Some sort of, oh, I'm black, so I should fear for the immigrants.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what of her and her children's experiences, well, her children's experiences are completely different than anything that she has had.
Well, yeah, they grew up in the White House.
You know, the fact that they're illegal aliens, that doesn't, illegal immigrants, that doesn't ring a bell with her at all?
Color chart. It's all about the color chart.
You know, I wonder if people decided to, you know, come out into their large lawn or whatever they have there at the, you know, their two big homesteads, if they would be... You know, if they would worry about them and they'd say, hey, come and take solace here in our home.
Well, you know they have extra bedrooms.
Yeah.
I mean, probably several.
Yeah. She says, and we know that those decisions are being made with courts and with due process, suggesting that the Trump administration is making these types of decisions based on looks alone, not actual legal status or criminal history. So she is... slowly trying to weave in the whole people are disappearing.
Watch it. You might. She's not going to get disappeared because she's in her entourage of four cars and security, but
yeah,
you just don't know.
Others could.
And she fears for her daughters out driving around.
In fact, she said that Trump's deportation policy, it keeps her up at night.
Right.
You bragging or complaining, Big Mike?
No, no.
657 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday. More to come on 97.3 The Sky.